As followers of Jesus, the four Gospels are central to us. And in each of these Gospels, we encounter Jesus, the eternal Word of God. When we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, at least in non-pandemic times, we don't do it right now, but in non-pandemic times, you may remember the Gospel, that book of the Gospels is carried with great ritual and ceremony. It's a big deal when the time of the Gospel comes. That's because we hear the words of Jesus. We even have candles that are placed on each side of the Gospel book, at least at some liturgies, reminding us that Jesus is the light. But if you do a close reading of the four Gospels and you compare them, it becomes clear that they are different. Each was formed in a particular community. Each has its own way of relating the story of Jesus. Each of the communities had its own particular emphasis. So if one looks at how Jesus is portrayed in each gospel, you will see differences. They'll begin to emerge as you compare the way Jesus is represented. This year we have been reading from Mark's Gospel, and Mark really highlights the humanity of Jesus. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus doesn't so much know beforehand much of what's going to happen. There's a kind of immediacy. In Mark, it's not hard to see the Holy Spirit driving Jesus out into the wilderness after his baptism, into a time where he can contemplate what he has just experienced. And Mark tells us that while he's in the wilderness, he wrestles with the meaning of being called beloved. In that barren landscape, Jesus comes to understand what this reality means, and he emerges 40 days later with, especially in Mark's Gospel, an urgency to his mission. In Mark, Jesus insistently goes about this mission single-mindedly, doing everything immediately, urgently focused on his call. We regularly talk about the humanity of Jesus and how the Word in the person of Jesus takes on human flesh. Certainly, in his passion, we contemplate the horrors and the agony that he experienced. In the bodily resurrection, we affirm that Jesus was raised from the dead in his body. That is a central reality of our faith. And at the Eucharist, as we do this morning, we gather to receive the body and blood of Jesus, taking into ourselves the abiding presence of Jesus in signs of bread and wine. There are, though, I think, some aspects of Jesus' humanity that we don't necessarily talk about so much. And there's a danger that we might overemphasize his divinity, denying Jesus his full humanity. Now, we might do that just as an oversight, or perhaps sometimes Jesus in his humanity can make us uncomfortable about our own humanity. I wonder if we have a moment like that in today's gospel. Now, just before this account, we hear how Jesus has been busy teaching and healing, casting out demons, and feeding the multitudes from a few loaves of bread and some fish. Mark tells us that Jesus travels into Gentile territory, to Tyre and on to Sidon, what is modern-day Lebanon. Jesus enters a house and doesn't want anyone to know he is there. It doesn't mention that the disciples are with him, so it sounds like he's there alone. He may want to get away from the crushing crowds, get some time apart, some time for rest. But Jesus can never escape notice. People clamor to be in his presence. They want to experience healing. And so in this house where he is apart, a Gentile woman finds out that Jesus is there and comes to the house. She bows down at his feet and she asks a favor. She tells Jesus how her daughter has a demon and she begs that Jesus will heal her. Because we don't live in the first century, the scandal of this encounter is, I think, lost on us. But by the norms of that time, there is nothing acceptable in the woman's behavior. According to the practices of the first century, an unrelated woman was forbidden to approach a Jewish man in the privacy of a home. On top of that, this woman is a Gentile, and that makes her behavior even more scandalous. She should not, as a Gentile woman, be talking to Jesus at all. And asking for a favor was just beyond the pale. It's out of the question. And yet this woman, in the desire to have her daughter healed, does this. Now the response that Jesus offers may not be entirely comfortable for us. His words can be hard to reconcile with the Jesus that we know and that we follow. He seems to insult her. He replies to her request by saying, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Jesus is making clear his mission is to the house of Israel, not to those who are Gentiles. And he doesn't seem to engage the woman on this question, but instead is dismissing her with what sounds like an insult. But this unnamed woman does not give up. Rather than go away after this reply, she says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." In saying this, the woman is showing that she has faith. She has faith that Jesus can help her daughter. She believes that he has the power to heal her. And so the woman, in seeking what is best for her daughter, challenges the conventions of her day, acting outside of what was considered respectful and proper, and challenges Jesus. She challenges the notion of who is an insider and who an outsider. She is insisting that Gentiles can be included at the table. Jesus, in this encounter, goes from dismissing her to reconsidering. He says to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when the woman returns home, Mark tells us that she finds her daughter is indeed healed. This conversation is very different from the others in Mark's gospel. This is the only time that Jesus is not entirely in charge of the conversation. The Gentile woman is the only person who wins a kind of verbal exchange with him. The woman takes Jesus' words and turns them. And in this exchange, we have an important purpose being served in Mark's gospel. If you remember from last week, just before this passage, Jesus called the Pharisees to broaden their definition of clean and holy, to expand their notion of who is welcome at the table. Jesus was challenging the Pharisees' narrow definitions of exclusion and of welcome. After challenging the narrowness of the Pharisees, now the Gentile woman is putting a challenge before Jesus, asking him to broaden his welcome to include those who are Gentile at the table, to give them more than just the crumbs. This encounter with the Gentile woman shows Jesus as a man of his time and his context. He's speaking from a kind of bias and prejudice of that first century. But the woman's challenge immediately moves Jesus to a new place. Because of this conversation, Jesus lets go of those social norms and embraces a broader idea of inclusion. Jesus allows this Gentile woman to challenge him, to challenge the one Jesus who has privilege. He's a man, he is Jewish, for the sake of the inclusion of Gentiles. Then right after that, we have another story of a Gentile. This is the story of a man who is deaf and has a speech impediment. Unlike the Gentile woman's daughter, Jesus doesn't hesitate and heals this Gentile man. But doing so, Jesus disregards the purity code of the Pharisees, what they have been teaching just before this. He challenges their cleanliness practices. He spits on his fingers. He touches the man's tongue and ears. That violates all the rules. And then Jesus looks up to heaven, he sighs, and he says, Ephatha, Aramaic for be opened. And immediately the man is healed, he is able to hear and to speak. Mark is contrasting the healing of this man with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are stuck in what they believe is right. They're stuck in how they understand what it means to follow God. And Jesus is accusing them of being deaf to God's call, to what God is doing in their midst, to being unable to see new things and to speak God's truth. In contrast, the Gentile man, this one who is an insider, is able to hear God's call and then to speak God's word. We hear at the end of the gospel that, in fact, Jesus can't stop him and the others from talking, from proclaiming what Jesus has done. This is a call to the followers of Jesus that we, too, are able to hear Jesus, to hear his word, to hear his call, and then to proclaim his good news. And so we have these two important accounts. Because of the Gentile woman's persistence, Jesus moves to a place of broader inclusion. And we're called to do the same. The deaf man who can't speak is able to hear and to proclaim, and we're called to do the same. Jesus is calling us beyond the rigid boundaries of our day so that we can embrace the wide, encompassing love of God. Jesus comes to heal us of our assumptions, of the narrow ways that we might view other people. Jesus comes to liberate us from the exclusionary views that we are taught by our society and may not even realize we hold. Jesus challenges us to identify and name our own places of privilege, to relinquish our privilege for the sake of those who have less privilege and less power. Those of us who are white are called to work hard for learning about our nation's history, including the history of our own state of Rhode Island and our own church, to learn how we benefit by being white, to wrestle with the legacy of more than 400 years of chattel slavery and its impact on our society even today. And then knowing this history, we are called to intentionally use our privilege and the power that comes with it to dismantle the evil of white supremacy. We're called to suspend what we may think we know and instead to learn and to respectfully listen to the stories and experiences of people of color. Those of us who are male must see the ways that being male gives us privilege in this society and allow ourselves to be challenged in this privilege. Those of us who are straight are called to see the privilege we possess, privilege not shared by those who are LGBTQ. And those of us who are middle class are called to see our own economic privilege and how prosperity that we enjoy comes at the expense of those who are less well off. In today's gospel, Jesus shows us how we are called to respond when we are blinded by our own privilege. When we are certain of our position and yet misread a situation, Jesus is showing us how to proceed. Jesus shows us that we're called to see and to hear the person before us, especially the one who is different from us. And like Jesus, we can then allow these moments to change us. We can learn from them. We can become more the people that God intends us to be. Jesus this day shows us a new way to be open, a way to be transformed into the people God calls us to be. People who embrace the wide love of God and welcome all at the table. Jesus shows us how we can encounter people, seeing and hearing them as they are, and embracing their true identity, and allowing ourselves to be changed by the encounter. As followers of Jesus, our witness can then be a leaven for our nation, a nation plunged into a partisan divide. When those who disagree are vilifying one another, when those who are different from us are seen as a threat or an economic threat to our well-being, living by God's generous love can heal our broken world. When so many people around the world are suffering from this unending pandemic, are afflicted by hurricanes and storms, wildfires, war, and the collapse of nation states. The compassionate love of God lived by the followers of Jesus can be a healing balm in a harsh and brutal world. The blog Journey with Jesus offers weekly reflections on the Sunday lessons. And reflecting on today's gospel, the author Debbie Thomas challenges us to be open to the fullness of God's inclusion. She writes, and I quote, "What would it be like to follow in the footsteps of a Jesus who listens to the urgent challenge of the other, who humbles himself long enough to learn what only a vulnerable outsider can teach? What would it be like to stop limiting who we will be for other people and who we will let them be for us? What would it be like to insist on good news for people who don't look, speak, behave, or worship like we do?" Unquote. Like Jesus, I hope and pray this day that we be open to the fullness of God's inclusive love, that we raise our voices proclaiming this good news of Jesus for everyone to hear. Let us speak by the power of the Holy Spirit and live love's call, a call extended to all people, and in the process, allow ourselves to be changed by God's broad, all-encompassing love. Amen.